This would be easier if it was really wireless. Okay, very good. So this morning we are going to be looking at the thought of the power of communication. The power of communication. This week has been, for me, a very heavy week of thinking. And that really doesn't take too much, I guarantee you. But nonetheless, it has been one of those weeks with a lot of thinking and analyzing and weighing things. But one thing that I has considered is that when we think of the human race, when we think of ourselves, when we think of our nation, and all that surrounds it, or us, it's communication. That's how things are connected. It's through communication. Haven't you ever met someone and you find out very quickly that they know somebody that knows somebody that knows you? And you think of how small the world really becomes. It's amazing to me that through these last 18 months, through the death of Charles Wesco, I realized how many of our people in Mexico were connected with other people that were connected with the Wescos. And that was phenomenal for me to see that. But we're talking about communication. People that met people. And they introduced themselves and they began to know them. Is it not communication that brings us also to places called joy and sadness? It is communication that brings us to places of anticipation and fear. To places of learning and also places of adventure. I was talking to Andrew this week and I asked him where there would be some place that he would be interested to go and see. And he said the first thing was the Grand Canyon. For him, that's a place of adventure. For me, as a father of many, it's a place of falling. And so these words of communication take us all kinds of places. At the same token, it is the lack of communication or the incompleteness of communication or the completeness of the information that can leave someone discouraged to the point of being depressed. It can leave someone ignorant or misunderstood. Did I wrap up your week? Communication is so much of every single moment of our lives. It is a powerful tool that God has given to us because He is the first one that used it. He is the one that communicated to us first. And so as we consider this passage, think with me all of the different avenues of communication that is in this story. It is a story that we know very, very well. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read some of this passage and share a little bit. Father, thank You for the day, and I thank You for, once again, Your mercy that's new today. Lord, that You have given us the ability to be in Your house. Once again, to be able to have sight to read Your words or hearing to hear Your words. And Lord, I just ask today that You would speak to us as only You can. Lord, that communicating ability and power of the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us into all truth. And Lord, to know that You are with us every moment. Lord, we thank You for Your love and we thank You for the promise of eternal life. And we ask that, dear Lord, You would help us in this lesson of communication to practically apply it in our everyday walk, that others would desire to come and know the light. Father, thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we consider the power of communication, it is a power that can share compassion. So, right here in chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." And so it sets the scene for us. A noble man in regards to his country, who definitely had put his life on the line. You don't become this captain without having made several sacrifices on your own part. I realize if you jump a little ahead and start thinking about England, there was a lot of people placed into power that were just friends of somebody in power and really had no clue or ability or integrity to fulfill that position. But we see a man here that was definitely noble, because it was by him that the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And so this was a person that was out there in the front of the lines, who wasn't waiting for other people to go ahead and clear the way. He was one of those front runners. And as we look at verse 2, we find some very interesting information that helps us understand the beginning of this communication process. And 2, it says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." And boy, I tell you what, as we consider the events around our world today, and as we consider people that are from other nations abiding in our country, this would not be a natural occurrence, that someone that is from another country taken captive waits on the wife of the very captain who conquers that portion of Israel. But it also shows compassion. Just take a walk over to Detroit this morning and go talk to some of those Muslim young people and see how much they want to love you and listen to you and promote freedom of liberty and freedom of religion and the Word of God and so forth. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of bitterness. So this would not be natural for someone to be captive and to be ministering unto the very wife of this captain with compassion. She was definitely brave, because she knew the truth. She knew a truth that would give Naaman freedom. And so consider her communication. And this next verse, it says in verse 3, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And this communication, you have to understand, these are not just words. I realize that there are a lot of authors out there who are lost. But at the same token, some of the things they say give us insight as to how they perceive things. So Ralph Waldo Emerson said that your person will be heard much louder and much longer than any of your words will ever be heard. The person you are is going to be heard much louder and much longer than whatever it is you have to say. And you think about that from a lost person's perspective. So you can have the gospel, you can have the truth, you can have honesty on your lips, but if your life does not reflect it, it is like those sounding cymbals that we see in 1 Corinthians 13 that mean nothing. They mean nothing. And so it's interesting here that as she is giving this information to the mistress, this mistress doesn't just fluff it off as if it were this young little girl conniving a trap for the captain that had destroyed her people. Why do we know that? Because as we continue on in our text, we see that this information is passed along. This young maid that was taken from Israel, she's not afraid to speak of her land. She has complete faith in the miracle working power of God through the man of God that lives in Samaria. And she doesn't hide the information. That's very interesting. I mean, for someone who is captive, aren't they just waiting for the death of their captors so they can be set free, or somebody else to come in and conquer them? She's not waiting for the death of Naaman. On the contrary, this power of communication, this truth that was abiding in her, caused her to have compassion to share it. And if you just, for one moment, jump with me to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 8 through 13. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you? if ye be followers of that which is good. Now, obviously, this was written hundreds of years later. But this is something that is practically being lived out in this little girl. She didn't have fear of these people. She knew the truth. She knew the truth and was willing to share that, even though there may be skeptics and scoffers or make fun of her. She sees Naaman as a human in need, not an enemy. And she sees a decaying man that can have the chance to have a new life. And so she communicated that truth that we see here in verse 3. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So as we consider this idea of communication, and it is the what leads us to compassion, there is an audience now. There is an audience here. And it says there in verse 3, she said to her mistress, but then it says in verse 4, and one went in. It doesn't say the mistress went in. So we have a channel of communication, someone sharing these details, probably trying to get an opinion amongst themselves, the majority, to see whether it was worth taking this information further up the line, further up the chain, if you will. But interestingly enough, it ends up at the king. In verse 5, it says, and the king of Syria said. So this information travels up this chain. People were taking it seriously. This audience is seeing the possibility of their noble captain being healed. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, the Bible says here, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, I know that my Aunt Carol and Uncle Jim have shared some information in regards to those that tea and some pills for cancer situations. But how many times have you participated in a conversation like this that someone brings some new information to the table and you laughed or scoffed at it or said, that's not the way we've done it. That's not the way we do it. That's not how that was done back then. And we come up with these reasons why whatever it is that this information is bringing to the table isn't worth the time, isn't strong enough, or won't bring about the results that are expected. This enthusiasm is just a facade. All these types of thoughts around these circumstances or these conversations with, we'll say, new information, new to you. And one of those situations happened between Brother Randy and I. I had been working down in Kalamazoo, and I discovered Sweetwaters. And when I came back and I talked to Brother Randy about Sweetwaters, Brother Randy then began to think about Sweetwaters to the point where he took my word and said and thought that Sweetwaters would be an amazing place to go and see and to try. And Sweetwaters is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-days-a-week donut shop with like 60 different donuts made fresh hourly, okay? And he took me up on that. And then a little bit later, a guy brings to us to the job and brings to the job some donuts from a place called Sprinkles, which now has been famously coined by my father, the pharmacy. And why? Because somebody introduced him to this amazing donut place, right? And so now it is named the pharmacy because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And if you eat a donut from Sprinkles, you are going to be happy. I mean, that's the nutshell of that little conversation. But on more of a serious note, I can remember years... Well, I grew up in a situation, my mom's back there as witness. When we were sick, if we had a fever, we went to the doc. We went to the doc. I can remember being sick frequently enough to remember the different doctor's offices that we went to. But as we begin to have children, people would bring things to the table. Oh, you should try this. Oh, you should try that. Well, one of the things young parents have trouble with is our ear infections with their little children. And so someone brought to the table and said, hey, we don't take our children to the doctor anymore with ear infections. We just put these drops of garlic in their ears. And I'll be honest, when I first heard that, I thought that was crazy. I thought it was completely ignorant to think that garlic would have such power to kill an infection in the ear. But Julie, on the other hand, was open. And see, one thing that we have to realize in our communication process, that communication is only going to be received if someone else is willing to be wrong. Are you willing to be wrong today? Because if you're not willing to be wrong, probably any of the messages today really aren't going to go to the heart of any of the matters. Because there won't be that sense of, what do I need to learn? Because when I say to myself, what can I learn? I'm willing to say that I'm wrong in some area. Because I'm still living every day, I'm still eating every day, I'm dressing myself every day, I'm working every day, etc., etc. But is there something that needs to change? That means I'm open to being wrong. And so Julie was very curious in that. And so we did. We bought a bottle. Or maybe somebody gave us a partial bottle first. And she tried it on one of the children. And from that day forward, we have never gone back to the doctor because of an ear infection. Because somebody brought information to the table that was much healthier and actually much quicker than an antibiotic. Well, we have this information here in the Word of God to challenge us with this idea of communicating. We know that for at least decades, I don't know exactly who said it, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks, right? And whether that's derived from what Emerson said or somebody else down through history, we know that to be true on the job. When we have somebody that will come over and start talking to us about their way of doing things, and yet we've had an opportunity to observe their way of doing things, their work speaks much louder to us than what they're telling to us in the moment. We were working side by side with the crew, and they said that it was much faster to build the house, to build the walls, stand all the walls, basement, first level, second story, and sheet it all later. Well, we had the opportunity to watch them work. And we watched this one guy on the track, on his platform, for 3 days, sheeting all these walls by himself. And we were sitting back and we were saying, there's no way that is faster to do it that way. And so even though they had this information, we could see that it wasn't a reality. Maybe that's the way they like to do things. And that's how it is across the board with us. People that are communicating. So translate that, if you will, into you being a witness for God. Is that witness effective? Is largely going to be based on whether or not your life lives and breathes it. Because if you're just doing it to complete the 3-track thing a week, just to meet a standard or meet a requirement, we're not going to see real results. I'll guarantee you, this little girl here in 2 Kings chapter 5 was not just doing this so she would get some brownie points with someone. This communication, this truth that she had inside of her, pushed her to compassion. And it is in Romans chapter 10, in this very famous passage, that challenges us with this communicative thought. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We're talking about communication that drives someone to compassion. Do we have this compassion? This young lady did have it. And it developed an audience back here in 2 Kings chapter 5. Are you willing to be wrong? He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Right there in Scripture, we see that we need to be willing to be wrong. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, to not be many masters, for you shall receive the greater condemnation. You ever met somebody who thinks they always have the right answer? Or they always have the reason why? And before you can really get your word out or your thought out, that person has given you 16. And the Word of God tells us to be not many masters, for we shall receive the greater condemnation. When truth is communicated, are you willing to buck your culture, your tradition, your lifestyle to pursue this freeing change? In the case of Naaman, it sparked a fire inside of him. Because he was seeing a young lady who was real. to her mistress in this communicating of truth. As the communication is received, compassion definitely conquers. Look at Proverbs 22 for just a second here. In Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It says here, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Where do we find this whole story ending up in those first few verses? With the king. With the king. Not like a King Jeroboam that just tears things up, throws in the fire, or, you know, several illustrations we could give. We're talking about a king that is listening because the person before him is noble, has integrity, is honest, is hardworking, etc. This communication that was received brought them to being able to conquer this fear. Now, on the other hand, let's drop down a few more verses here. Let's start in verse 6. It says, "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying..." So we already talking about this king of Syria, and he's like, "Let's go do this," in verse 5. Go and I will send a letter. In other words, a letter of recommendation, if you will. But in verse 6, we are before the king of Israel, and this king is a skeptic. And he is a skeptic because he doesn't have faith that the communication is real. That there is a remote possibility that this prophet in Samaria can heal this captain of the enemy. And you look at this verse and it says, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have there sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God?" He was just looking in the wrong places. The communication was not accepted to him. He didn't receive it. He says, "Behold, I have there..." Oh, I'm sorry, verse 7. "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." See, what Naaman and the king of Syria could have thought about the young lady, you now have the king of Israel thinking about Naaman and this letter from the king, that there is a trap. The king did not want to receive this communication. Now, granted, these are the enemy coming at you, looking for healing in sincerity and in truth. But this king, who doesn't have a true fear of God, who does not have true faith, as we see in Hebrews 11, but we're also going to see here later in this chapter that Naaman battles with the exact same thing, the reality of faith. This king of Israel just as soon send him back to where he came from. Now consider this. If someone is coming to you for help, and you say, "I don't have anything to give you, I don't know how to deal with this situation," and you send them back, maybe it's to their bedroom, to the living room, back to that portion of the job, you're sending that person back in extreme discouraging circumstances, because hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And when you send someplace back to a place that they left, a place that they thought they were leaving to find new life, healing, change, and you send them back to that place, and it's exactly the same, it seems even worse. And so we don't want to send people back. We want to have faith in the Word of God that it is going to do that changing work. But we cannot expect that communication from God to change them if we're not willing to be wrong ourselves in the areas of our lives that every one of us need to give consideration and time to. There is the sin which doth so easily beset us. For one, it's worry. For another, it's imagination. For someone else, it's work. For somebody else, it's play. Does it really encourage your heart to find out that a 50-year-old guy spends 4 hours a week playing video games? I mean, is that just really exciting to think about? No, it isn't. It should be way past that by 50 years old. But there are these things that nonetheless come across in our lives that we have to deal with. This king was a skeptic. He was fearful. He didn't have faith at hearing. And so he could not encourage Naaman because he didn't accept the truth for himself. For him to accept the truth meant that he had to believe that the prophet was literally a prophet of God and that God was responding to him. And so as this king did not have this faith in the prophet, he could not encourage him to be successful because he said it was inconceivable and it was impossible. He rent his clothes. He thought it was a trap. He couldn't give this guy good direction. But look down a little bit further. Verse 10, it says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go. Whoops, I skipped too far. Verse 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes. What does that mean to us? It means somebody was continuing to communicate. Someone had to communicate this information to him for him to know. Now, I do realize that in Scripture there was supernatural events where God did make the prophet know ahead of time. And even later on in this very same chapter, God helps Elisha to know that Gehazi went to go get the money and the clothing from Naaman later on, even though Elisha never left. He said, did not my heart go with thee? And so we do know that, but we have this context here of communication that started with this little maid who was a captive, who was a slave, and it's going, this channel that it's going. The information isn't changing. It's staying solid. It's staying the same. And it's being brought to another country now with hopes of a change and renewed life. The Bible says that the fields are white already to harvest. So my question is, do we believe that? If we believed that, then we would be seeking, okay, is that person ready to reap? Is that person ready to reap? Is that person ready to reap? Instead of just being the passerby who doesn't know anything about farming and just passes all the fields of corn and says, oh, there's fields of corn, and not ever giving attention to the fact that the tassels are brown, the corn is ripe, you know, the season is perfect. Just driving, oh, that's corn. Well, there's people everywhere, and we can just say that there's people everywhere, but do we consider the fact that they might be at the verge of death's door, that they might be at the verge of accepting the communication of truth? Communication is so vitally important. We need to communicate truth to people. This prophet in verse 8 is a prophet who was practical. Hearing of a man with honor, humbling himself by coming to the enemy, seeking help from a conquered people, seeking for the man of God who was used by God to do mighty acts. It says there in verse 8, halfway through, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. That he would know it. That communication. So as we jump down a little bit further here in this text, I want to just once again go back to Hebrews 11 for a second. In this definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in the wisdom of the prophet, he gives the correct information to this man, and yet he tests his faith. Will he obey without seeing? Will he obey without seeing? It says of verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, well, Elisha didn't go. He just sent a messenger. It says, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was what? Raw. What do we read about that verse? The man that responds to a situation without hearing it, it is foolishness. So here, Naaman had made this journey based on this information for this young lady, and he had gone to before his own king. That king had sent him to the king of Israel, and he had been on this ginormous journey, and it wasn't just a 5-minute journey. It wasn't just a few hour journey. This took days. This took preparation. This took anticipation. And he comes to this point where he finally has this meeting of the information that comes from the prophet, and he wasn't satisfied with the delivery of the communication. I can remember as a young teenager, I said once to another teenager, I wish God would just write the answer in the clouds. Have you ever thought that, or ever the thought crossed your mind that you didn't appreciate the way that God brought you the answer? Or maybe the timing of the answer? The events surrounding the answer? It's a test of faith. It's a test of faith. Did this man really have faith in the words, in the communication? Or was he just expecting this nobler person to bestow some kind of, you know, hocus pocus magical thing on him? Well, we know the story, and I know that you know the story well, but here he has this test, and the men that are with him have to rally around him and encourage him with the communication of this young maid once again. He had to be reminded of the possibilities and the potential of a changed life, a renewed life. And so, and he is conquered with that compassion. As we go down through this whole list, what we see is a lot of people, because of a communication, learn compassion. And now others have hope and are expecting that Naaman will be healed. It isn't just Naaman. It is a lot of people that are around him. And so as we continue on, it says, verse 13, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean," something so simple. You've already humbled yourself this far. Why not just take one more step? One more step. We're so close. Why not take this last step to see what the God of Israel, the God of this prophet, will do for you? Naaman didn't understand the communication at first. He thought he deserved more respect. But he was forgetting about the holy God that was ready to heal him and was willing to communicate with him, was wanting to see if he would put his faith in the words of the communication. And we know the end of the story, that he does. That he does. So this morning, as our time has ran out, would you consider a couple of things? One, that as we communicate, who we are speaks much louder than what we are saying. And that is true. It's practical. Are we willing to be wrong? Because the Holy Spirit is going to speak truth. He is going to speak holiness. He is going to speak of success, spiritual success. But if we're not willing to change our culture, our past experiences that have led us to the choices we've made today, if we're not willing, then this communication can take us no further. Just like that king, the skeptical king of Israel, he couldn't encourage them to go in a successful way. On the contrary, we see with the wise men, when they consulted Scripture, that gave them clear direction where to go. Go to Bethlehem. And they went. And they found. The Word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." How near is God in your prayer life? That's communication with him. How near are others to us in our day-to-day when we're proclaiming to be a Christian? How near are they to us? How much influence do we truly have over these individuals to listen? This word is so important to our day, every day of our life. And may we put some more attention into it. How am I communicating? And what am I really communicating? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you that you communicated to us with pure love, knowing that we were sinners, yet you still sent your Son to die on the cross for us. Knowing full well that after having received salvation and the gift of eternal life, that we would still continue to struggle on a daily basis with faithfulness. And yet your communication stays true and faithful. Lord, thank you for this. And I just, dear Lord, ask you to help us this week to realize how important communication is to seeing a person changed from a path of death and decay to a path of life and joy everlasting. Lord, the literal change we see in Naaman can be the spiritual change in so many people around us if our communication would just match our life. I just pray, God, that you'd help us in this area in a powerful way. Lord, we need you, and we do thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.